Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Here in about 8 minutes, we'll get to a change for Chiefs fans that might be tailgating out at Arrowhead. I was not there Saturday, but some people were upset, I guess, with the change. We'll talk this one out. We might open up the phone lines as well and the text line, 913-586-7965, because there was a tailgate policy change that I guess nobody was really aware of, but it happened on Saturday. So one, we'll tell you so you know when the regular season starts and for this Thursday against Chicago. But is it all that big of a deal or not? So we'll talk that one out together coming up in a bit. But let's start with the Royals. And we know that it has been a very long time since we were talking baseball this late into August from hey, they're 2 games out or 3 games out and this team is playing this team, and we all cared about that. You go back to 14 and 15 and what those teams were like. You made the case earlier, and I think you were correct. In so many areas, this team right now is better than the 2014 team.
Everywhere but the bullpen. Because the bullpen's inarguable. And I'm not going to get bogged down because that was an all-time bullpen. And maybe that's the reason why that team eventually went to the World Series. And maybe this one won't. We don't know. It's far too early to tell on that. But from a runs per game perspective, this is competitive. I would say that the Royals were league average. I mean, literally a league average offense in 2014. They were below that from a pitching perspective. They were below that in a lot of different areas. This rotation is way better than the 2014 Royals. Like, I mean, it's
starting pitchers in the All-Star game right then and there is all you need to say.
And they go 4 deep. Like the Michael Wacha thing, I'm not going to forget it again. I did not give enough credit to it at the time. I had let it slip in my brain, and I think a lot of baseball had slipped in their brain just how good they had been in that regard. Go back, if you really want to remember that, like, because the bullpen was great. Greg Holland had a 1.44 ERA. Well, Wade Davis had a 1.0 ERA. And Kelvin Herrera had a 1.41 ERA. I get it. It's absolutely ludicrous. It had no business going that way. But their starting rotation was James Shields, who was really good that year in particular. Jason Vargas, who had probably the best year of his career that year and had an ERA in the sub-4, and Yordano Ventura, who did have a sub-4 ERA. So I'm not saying it wasn't a good rotation. It was. But then after that, it kind of fell off the map. I mean, then it was, you know, you were kind of praying with guys like Jeremy Guthrie, and then eventually Duffy, who was great, got hurt, and that kind of changed it. So I'm not saying it wasn't a fight and that rotation wasn't good. I just think that this one is better. And in addition to that, I think this offense is better. And they have a superstar on offense and a better offensive version of Salvador Perez. And Vinny Pasquantino is better than the third best hitter or second best hitter on the Royals in 2014. It's not like a blowout. I don't know that I wouldn't say it's not close, but I do think that this year's team is better than 2014, which means this year's team's got just as good of a chance at the playoff start and they're in it. to win the whole damn thing.
For reference, that team won 89 games in 2014. That was also the last time we didn't have a 100-plus win.
They're pacing for 90 wins.
Yeah, and that was the last time we didn't have a 100-plus win team in baseball. And that is a factor in, hey, the larger picture. If you get in the dance, what can you do? And that's getting ahead of ourselves a bit. But it is going to be an open, wide-open playoffs in the American League, and I'll say the National League this year, because there's not one great team in baseball. There's not a 100-plus win team this year. Maybe we see a 97, 98 win team if somebody gets hot in the rest of August and through the month of September. But it's there. I mean, all you have to say, Cody, though, from the 14-team comparison, regular season, not talking about the playoff success, because obviously they went to the World Series.
And that's going to be hard to match that, because that's a difficult task in any year.
If I tell you that you have a guy that's going to finish top two in MVP voting in Bobby Wood Jr., and you had two all-star starting pitchers in Lugo and Reagans, and as you said, you look in the middle of the order, the power numbers, that team in 14, Alex Gordon led the team in home runs. You know how many he had? He had 19. That led the team in home runs. He had 19.
That led the team? Led the team in RBI, too. It's 74 RBI.
Vinny's going to have over 100 this year. He's now, I think, was he a sacrifice fly away from having the most sac flies in Royals history?
Yeah.
So all that puts them heading into the postseason, if they get there, that they are a better team than the 2014 team. But that does, the reason why the Royals...
Accomplishments mean something. End accomplishments. The better season will go to the team
of course
who did the most with it.
But, and the team that people thought was much better in 2014, they might have got bounced in the second round of the playoffs. And the reason why the Royals went on a run is they were in a position they weren't expected to go. That could happen this year for a team that people view are worse than the Royals or not. Get in the dance, I get that. But heading at this exact moment, they are better equipped, despite their flaws, than that team was.
What's funny, though, is they do hold so... I thought that year's team actually set them back for a number of years after. Like, obviously, they won in 15.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, hold on. But for the years after that, in 17 and 18 and 19, when Dayton Moore was really trying to recreate what he had in 14 and 15, it's like, oh, we won 1,000 innings out of our starting pitching, which they got in 14. I was like, man, that's not how this works. That's not life anymore. You're going to have to move on from that. And it took him too long, maybe, because that 14 rotation put like 1,000 innings on the board. James Shields had two 200-inning pitchers, another 190-inning pitcher, and even Danny Duffy was eventually hurt. I think he got like 140 innings in. What's funny is like there are a lot of comparables. Mikel Garcia is a streaky hitter who's a bit too free-swinging. You're like, okay, there's Elcides Escobar. MJ Melendez is hitting 205 with 265 on base percentage, but still managed to have 14 home runs. There's Mike Moustakas's 2014 season. The difference is that the top is weighted towards the Royals. The seasons they're having right now, 82, 92, and 91 RBI between Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby Wood Jr., they're driving in an impossible amount of runs for this team. And with 38 games to go, you're right, they already have two players above the home run total for that season, and Vinny is only one home run behind. Right now, Vinny would have been second in that team in home runs with 38 games to play, and there are two power hitters with more success than him right now. And if you count Paul DeJong, technically three.
And look, I know
because he's in the 20s.
I know everybody, if we were to back up to 14, especially with where that team was at the All-Star break and everything.
But this team had at least a moment where you were a little scared of them.
And look, we've had ups and downs throughout the season and panic at times. I'm sure we'll have more panic at some point before this season ends as well. Before we get
a lot of time left to panic.
Before you get to the postseason. But this team and the rest of the league, like, this team is still in a better spot than that team was.
Sure.
At this point in time in 2014, on August 19th, I don't know how many games back the Royals were from a wild card spot in 2014. I'm guessing they were not 3.5 up. There was also not an extra wild card spot at that point, so there were two. I get that. But
dicier, yeah.
You know, but they were not 3.5 clear of the next team for a wild card spot, my guess is, in August 19th of 2014.
I look that up.
There's some way, but not on the fly. The division, they weren't in that position, only be three back on August 19th, I don't think, if I recall from 14. So this team is better positioned in the actual standings and just where they're at. Is it identical?
They were 70-55 this date in 2014.
And they won 89 that year, and this team's pacing for 90?
Yes.
But this team is just better equipped. So, what was the best record in the AL record in 2014? Do you know?
Overall?
Yeah. Because right now we may not see a team better than 95, 96 wins.
So in 2014, again, there was not a single 100-win team, as you had pointed out in that tweet from Jeff Passan, that pointed out kind of the mediocrity. The best team in the American League finished with 98 wins. Okay. It was the Angels. They ended up losing.
Series worked
the
out
first...
pretty good. Series turned out really well.
They ended up not winning a playoff series, as you probably recall. There were three teams with 90 wins. That's it. The Angels had 98. The Tigers had 90 and won the division. The Royals were a game behind them.
See, there's gonna be
and the Orioles had 96. Not a single other 91 team in the American
League. So there's going to be more 90-plus win teams this year, but not
the American League necessarily. But, no, probably, yeah.
I mean, the Yankees are still going to get to 90. Yeah, I think the Guardians get to 90. The Orioles get to 90. The Royals. Like, there could be a bunch more teams to 90, but not above 95. There could be a bunch between 92 and 95 wins this year.
Play each other too much for everybody to get to 95.
Looks like it.
It'll probably hover around that, but this is the thing. These years really mirror each other. Should we just start thinking? Should we just buy our World Series tickets now? These years start to look really similar. The types of teams that are good, the mashup at the top where everyone's kind of a mess, the level of good the Royals are. You're like, oh, kind of like they were, you know, like it was a surprise. Now in 13, they were better than what they were last year, obviously. So we don't have that mirror, but the rest of it's pretty close, man. What do you think?
Let's see what the next 20-game stretch is against these other teams that they would have to go through in the postseason.
The Phillies, the Guardians, the Twins, the Yankees, and the Astros, who they all have in the next, like, 20 games?
That's correct. I think they're making the playoffs, but as far as talking bigger picture than that, yeah, I don't need to do that yet.
As correctly pointing out, said the 2014 Angels team, they didn't even win a single playoff game. That's when the Royals just didn't lose a playoff game for a while. They just
had the longest streak.
Sweep, and then got to the World Series and game. Damn, I don't want to.
Longest consecutive streak.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Madison Bumgarner happened.
That jerk. God, I'll never forgive him for that. He pitched great, but
I hate him for it. And the Royals still almost won despite that.
Yeah. Even though Madison Bumgarner was, I mean, if they didn't have him, they would have won the series 4-0, 4-0. Apparently, well, and Madison Bumgarner just like slipped on a banana peel like a cartoon character
just for
right
Cody,
before that series.
Just for Cody, Royals 36-1 to win the World Series. There you go. Just for you.
Ooh, 36-1. Little $10 on the show fund. What do we think here? You do realize that would pay for the tattoo. So I probably should make that. You know, I'm not going to make that bet now. I just realized I don't think I'm just getting a tattoo for free. And as you recall on this show and ran in a sweeper for a long time, I said if the Royals win the World Series, I would get Vinny's quote. Who gives a S
on his right ass cheek?
I didn't say where I'd get the tattoo. I just said I'd get it.
That's a bold spot to put it. You didn't really think, you know.
I'm surprised that you picked there, Cody.
That's a weird spot. Why the right, not the left?
I don't think that's where I want to put the tattoo. I think I'm open to
nobody will see it.
Other locations.
We need you to put
a tattoo on the line now, Cole, because Cody and I both have tattoos on the line.
He's not going to do it for a bet. You'd have to be like, Alex, either you get a tattoo or you win $1 million. You'd be like, okay, I might risk for $1 million.
I did the much lighter scale the first month of the show back in 2020. From if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I had the Mahomes, I had the whole haircut change or whatever. Mahomes
and it didn't
cut.
Look good. It was not.
It's not great.
It just made all of your features more pronounced.
Yeah.
It was like
I looked like a European soccer player for a couple days.
Nothing wrong
that's
with
what
that.
That's what I looked like for a few days, and then it was gone very quickly. But yeah.
Yeah, you had to wash that one away.
I think I made a comment earlier. No, that was about if Felix Anaduke Uzomah had double-digit sacks. I said I don't have to worry about that. But
was it for a tattoo?
Not a tattoo. I thought I would shave my head bald. Yeah. Look, if the Royals won the World, you want me to do that? If they win the World Series, fine.
Can we go to a place next door? Is there a place?
If they win the World Series, I'll shave my head bald. We'll have someone come in studio and do it. Fine.
I've already decided that the person who's going to do the tattoo is the person who designed the Cody and Gold logo. He is a graphic designer by trade, but he also currently does tattoos. So that's my guy and does like hand lettering of signs and stuff. So if I'm going to get words on my body, it might as well be by the guy who made our show.
No, you can lock it in. Nice. If the Royals win the World Series, that's fine.
You'll shave it.
We'll have someone come in studio. Shave my entire head off or hair off.
Your head off. I'm going to murder you on the air just because the
hair
Royals.
Off. Hair off my
really,
head.
We really took the vibes down a bit.
Yeah. Hair.
The Royals won the World Series. Will now kill Alex live on air.
Shave my head.
My goodness.
Shave my head.
We're going to scalp Alex for charity. yeah, you get the point. That's at least
on. You were following me.
Yeah, I got mm-hmm. it.
Let's talk about the Chiefs, not on the field, but what was happening before the game. Because I know those of you listening, a lot of you get out there and tailgate for a noon game at what? You're lining up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. You're waiting to get into the parking lot so you can set up your big tailgate. And I saw this story actually over on Fox 4. And I'll admit, I was not at the game Saturday, so I don't know how this all played out. But I thought the story was interesting because it mentioned a change in tailgating policy. So a lot of diehards we know show up early before the gates open up. They had a new rule that changed up perhaps some individuals' plans. So it talks in the story about some unspoken rules of Chiefs parking spots for every single game and everything. But a lot of fans have been able to solidify their spots on game day by walking their tents or grills and banners and chairs into the parking lot before the gates open. So long line of cars, but people were able to just walk in and basically reserve their spot. But the Chiefs have a new policy, quote, for the safety, security, and experience of all fans, vehicles and pedestrians are not permitted to access Truman Sports Complex until gates have opened on event day. Full parking policies can be found at chiefs.com/stadium/parking. And so for safety, they don't want pedestrians to walk through the gates before they open. On the surface, so, makes a lot of sense. But
yeah,
did they not warn people ahead of time about this?
Sounds like no, because nobody ever warns people of unpopular decisions. They don't, like, if they're going to fire his goal, they're not like, hey, you're pre-fired. Be warned, you might be fired. No, they're just going to fire you rather than give you the heads up. Here's my biggest problem with it. Generally speaking, yes, fundamentally on its surface, it makes sense. Sure. Let people, don't let people enter the gates before you're allowed to walk in the gates, walking their tents up or their grills up at 4 a.m. with a lack of security, essentially into the complex, right? Like, who's to say they can't just keep going, or how far into the parking lot do they go to reserve their spot? My issue is that the Chiefs still stink at getting people in and out of the damn parking lot. And this is just going to slow things down. This is going to slow everyone down getting into the parking lot, and it's already slow enough. I don't need things making it, slower, people getting into the damn building. That is already a massive headache. I want to make it as easy as humanly possible to get into that stadium because it's already a nightmare.
913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line here on 96.5 The Fan.
Phone line.
You can call in if you want to as well. If you're someone that has tailgated, I know some of you have tailgated for decades and you've got this thing down to a science at this point in time. I did text with a buddy of mine that does tailgate on a fairly regular basis. He said, though, this part why he likes the policy is there were individuals that would show up late that were not waiting in the line since 4 or 5 a.m. and they would take like their cones to block off their spot and their tents into the parking lot ahead of people who were further up in the line. So that's an issue, right? Like, you're waiting since 4. I show up at, let's just call it 7, and I walk past you with all my crap, and I get a spot better than you. Like, that's BS.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an argument.
But also, if it was accepted practice, is it BS? You could do the same thing. You, when you got there at 4:30, could have walked your stuff up the hill, I think the thing about the tailgating that people that probably underappreciate if you don't do it regularly, if you're not those people that are in the giant line of cars that, Diana Rossini walks past as she's going into the stadium, is that they're not stealing spots from each other, Gold. They all have their spot. The one they want. They're not taking it. Like, the guy who gets there at 6 is not taking it from the guy who gets there at 4:30.
Well, there's a quote from an individual that's a longtime tailgater in the Fox 4 article that says, quote, we have tailgated on the same blade of grass for 8 years. Mm-hmm. It's like how Drew felt about his damn beach spot.
Except for way more intense, because this damn dude's been doing it for 8 years in the same spot.
Yeah, and he doesn't
want to change every time, tell everyone to go, because everyone's not going to be in the same truck. You just want to, you don't have to text everybody, oh, we're between N61 and 63, like 4 cars back, we're by the yellow one. Nobody wants to do that. If you're an avid tailgater who goes every game, you just want to be like, this is our spot. You know where we'll be.
So you're saying they need to...
We'll see how this plays out.
Why don't they just do reserve spots?
Yeah.
For anybody who, if you agree, if you're a season ticket member who does the tailgating pass thing and you drive in your RV... you can paint it like a senior parking spot in high school. I don't care. That's your spot.
That would actually be
my
really
guess.
Cool.
Is
but don't take your stuff up early.
Anybody that has gone through Arrowhead parking, I'm not even talking about leaving. I'm talking about going. And sometimes you'll enter and they end up swinging you all the way around the entire complex. Can you imagine, though, if you have that reserve spot, Cody, and you try to get to your reserve spot so you think...
And the parking attendant put somebody in it? How do you claim it?
Well, that, but like... have a reserve spot, so maybe you feel like you don't have to get there as early anymore, which sounds great on paper, but then you got more people showing up at the same time. I think that causes a major ingress, egress disaster.
Yeah, like, this is my spot.
Well, it's not even just someone in your spot. I'm saying that these people that lined up early, they're already in the stadium, at least by the time, quote-unquote, the rest
everyone
of the
people, else.
Versus if I have a reserved spot, I may not think I need to get up at 4 a.m., so I'm showing up late. That means everybody's showing up later.
What if
and
the
then
reservation is only for an hour after gates open?
Say that again?
Hour after. You just set a time limit.
Oh, so
you can have your reserved spot up to an hour before gates open. You're not there, it's somebody else's. Don't care. Park wherever.
Yeah, I don't know.
The people who... The one thing about this is, like, how many people are you keeping them safe from? Like, the, like, I don't know, 100 people who get there at the crack of dawn to save their spot? Or because once the gates are open, then this going in between the gates early thing doesn't really matter. So, I mean, we might be talking 100 people. You know, like, are you sure you can't just...
There's no way that this would actually happen, I don't think. But if society were perfect and peaches, everything was great. Everything was fantastic. It was all green. There was nothing wrong with the world. Every single ticket holder... You would designate how many cars you're driving. If you're driving one car, you get every single ticket.
Just, that's a logistical.
Every single car gets a reserved spot regardless. Yeah. So it doesn't matter when you show up. If your spot N62, you are in.
Can't traffic it like that. Getting people in and out, they're just going to zigzag.
Same reason.
I'm not trying to make parking worse. They've already do a great job of that on their own.
You can. There's a way. Like.
No, people would show up late. Like, people would show up even later because they already know that they already know they're in spot C32. Well, I know I have a spot there. I don't need to show up until and then you wouldn't get in the stadium in time.
The people who show up like that don't do that. Like, Legend of Sax over on Twitch says they do this. They tailgate before the game. He said they have parked in the same spot since 2007.
There you go.
So, I mean, people find their spot and they don't damn leave it.
Yeah.
The question here is, will it be harder to just be like going straight to your spot? If they don't let you walk in your table, walk in your blanket, walk in your grill, whatever, probably. But I would guess that if you get there at a similar time that, I don't know, some close to your spot there.
Look, we've all been to Arrowhead.
You just can't take away your tailgate. Getting
getting out of Arrowhead, you got to know what you're getting in for. They've tried to change paid a lot of money for parking consultants to try to figure out. And hell, even in the failed renovation plan from April, I was going to have the parking spot slanted in a different direction. Remember that? That was part of it too. All that stuff.
I wonder if, like, with the new stadium stuff, if they'll be convinced that maybe there's a way you can get, for people who aren't tailgating, like a separate thing, parking garage.
We can have our own separate lot.
We will have a shuttle that brings you shuttles that just go. The entire game, parking garage.
That walking bridge thing.
It's a little bit further away, but you don't have to worry about walking there if you don't want to. We'll have a shuttle that comes every single 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, but the problem is that people tailgate, whether you're in the...
For non-tailgaters.
Yeah, but the issue is whether you have a gold parking or platinum parking pass or you're in red reserve, the regular general parking, if you've been at the Arrowhead, you know there's the one red lot that's way further away than the other red lots, and people tailgate in both. Like, I don't think you could just say, like, this is the...
And it's correctly pointed out by Phantom. Drew thinks people are going to follow all these rules. They're not going to do that.
Many years ago, they said you're not allowed to actually take up two spots. They claim they try to enforce that. Anybody that's gone knows that is not always the case at all. So it's just, this is what whether they have a new stadium or renovated stadium, then you want to have, 20,000 plus parking spots. But you're never going to have just this perfect solution.
No.
But the getting in and out of the stadium thing has been an ongoing problem for many, many years. All right, guys, let's get to what's trending coming up on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And also what we saw from one particular area in this preseason game that means that we're not worried anymore.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers. that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Number one on what's trending Royals baseball tonight. They open up their homestand and their series against the Angels tonight. 7:10 first pitch. Seth Lugo on the bump right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock as the Royals try to keep the momentum from the weekend going in tonight's game. Just three back.
The ass kicking they gave the Reds.
Three back in the Central. One back of the Twins for the second wild card and a 3.5 game cushion on the Red Sox for the last wild card spot.
Next up on What's Trending, although it was expected, it is now official. The Commanders have named Jaden Daniels their starting quarterback week one of the regular season. I kind of expect Bo Nix to maybe be following that suit, which means a good chunk of the first round rookie quarterbacks are going to be starting from jump. Now we know that Michael Penix Jr. won't be because Kirk Cousins is obviously the starter there. But outside of that, I mean, if Bo Nix gets it and now Daniels and we know Caleb Williams, good chunk of those first-round starters would be in there.
It's funny. So Michael Penix did not even play in the Falcons' second preseason game against the Ravens.
Makes no sense.
So Kirk Cousins is done for the whole preseason. There's no reason to play him, so they haven't. Michael Penix looked good in preseason game one. They didn't even play him in the second one. This is the
only
time.
He might not play for another 360 days.
Yeah, I don't get that whatsoever. That doesn't make any sense, right?
No. You should play him. He should play all four quarters. What are you protecting? If he got hurt, what's the difference?
I don't
get it. Kirk Cousins is your starter at least for this year, maybe 2 years. You should be getting Michael Penix Jr. as many snaps as humanly possible.
I agree.
Another bad coaching job. Great. I guess it's going to go terribly there in Atlanta again.
Next up on What's Trending, we heard from Andy Reid a little bit earlier on, and we'll hear from him again when he spoke about Clyde Edwards-Helaire just after What's Trending. But he expects Juwan Taylor, Chris Jones, and Joe Tooney to be ready for week one. Keep that in mind. He's saying that on August 19th.
Sure.
Reserve the right to change. Basically, I'm sure you would say. But that is good news. Other than Hollywood Brown, it looks like everybody should be healthy by the time they get the season started. Remember, they play a preseason game on Thursday against Chicago, in which Andy said the starters are likely not playing.
Yeah, it's a little bit differently said that end. Next up on What's Trending, the Pirates say they have no plans to shut down Paul Skeens early, currently the National League Rookie of the Year favorite. Here's part of it. I understand the notion of protecting a pitcher's arm, especially a guy who throws 4,000 miles an hour, and we've seen what that can do to an arm over time. One, but let's not forget, part of the reason that this might be the case is you now get a benefit. If you call up a starter in a certain amount of, a rookie in a certain amount of time, and then play them, and they win awards like Rookie of the Year, you get added money, you get added draft pick compensation. I can't remember exactly what the order is, but you get added benefits for actually playing these guys early. That all came because, you know, people were holding back guys like not Bobby Wood Jr., but others from opening day lineups so long, and the Pirates did do that with Skeens. But they're at least, he was in fast enough that at least there is some benefit to him. But why shut him down? He's the only reason people come out to the ballpark right now if you're a Pirates fan.
Yeah, as long as there's no sign of, you know.
Yeah, if his arm feels fine.
Or, you know, the same thing. We say that with anybody. You know, same thing applies even here with Seth Lugo. Like, everybody, you talk about the innings. Hey, as long as he's not endangering himself from a physical injury for a guy that's going to be under contract for a couple years, then
come on out.
You're gonna keep on pitching anybody. Same thing applies for Paul Skeens. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
Your new song now?
96.5 The Fan.
Or in a minute.
If you missed it earlier, I think here, a little bit later, towards the end of the half hour here.
Wow, towards the end?
Yeah.
Right at the end of the show?
Towards the end.
Okay.
If you missed it earlier, we made an agreement, okay?
An agreement has been reached.
An agreement based off of Cody wanting his new song to be played last week. It was blocked by the boss. This week, we said it would play. Cody wants it played today. At first, we said, no, let's push it to Wednesday. Fan Night at the K. And then we came to the agreement. Tonight is Fan Night at the K. Dusty's throwing out the first pitch. You are trying to win your first ever hot dog derby.
0-2.
We've cleared the field. The field is cleared. Drew and I are out. The field has been cleared for you. So if you do not win tonight in the hot dog derby, you cannot have a new song for a month because we're going to allow you to have this song today. That's the agreement.
Correct.
The listener who had the pass to block your song wanted me to block the song still. And I said, hey, we made a new agreement, a new bet. I can't block. Otherwise, the whole bet becomes void. And I want you to potentially be banned for a month of having a new song,
which is what he wants in the long run. Anyway,
that's right.
The listener who's holding on to this.
So that means that theoretically speaking, if you lose the race, you get banned for a month and they get to keep their pass.
Yeah, which means a month from now when I finally have a song.
That's right.
I might have a Royals playoff song just like, you know, right.
Don't lose then. You know?
It's all
don't,
in your
if
hands,
I if I win,
Cody.
I might write a song tomorrow about winning the hot dog derby.
Geez.
Are you kidding me?
I hope
you
I mean,
guys are all in big that gonna, trouble
Drew,
if I actually
you know,
win.
The funniest scenario tonight is obviously if Bob cuts you off and beats you and you fall.
Oh, man.
That's the best scenario tonight.
Because I've lost, but every time it's been like we've put on a real show. I've been in two hot dog derbies and it's been a real race.
So,
it's been tight. Everybody down to the wire. Who will win? We don't know. Every single race has been exactly like that. We have yet to have somebody fall.
I'm
a little concerned. If somebody did fall, it would be me.
I almost dove last year. I knew that they would have been pissed at me, but I wanted to win. I wanted to win, baby.
If the top of that hot dog thing hits the tape, does that count?
Yes.
Is this like a track and field?
Okay, Noah Lyles or whatever. Yeah.
Look, if it's the bib, if you went full send and you're straight upright and I'm over the line.
There's no bib on the hot dog.
Well, I know.
It's a piece of paper.
So, Cody, how do you feel about Gold not basically rooting against you tonight?
Well, I know that's to be expected. I'd be rooting against him, too. And I feel bad. But if it were him versus Bob and Nate, I'd be hoping he went down. You know, I would.
It's
reality.
Nate's the favorite tonight. Like I said last week, I think he's like a -175, -180 favorite. Then I think it's probably Cody even money or so. And then Bob, I'll put it like +150. You have to factor in age. Sorry, Bob, a little bit into this whole scenario. But I hope he beats you.
I mean, that hurts a little bit. You could root for me to lose, but you don't have to be like, I'm actively rooting for Bob to beat you.
Well, that would be you in last. That would put you in last place,
I think.
That's
true. But I could just lose the Nate.
The song is blocked for a month if that happens.
A month. A whole.
And someone says, Cody can never win the big one tap.
Yeah,
that'll be
you Dan Marino.
That'll be you.
Someone called me Dan. That's just rude.
You're going to be Dan Marino if you lose tonight.
Just lose.
Now, Drew, I don't know why. You have to run next year. You dropped out without winning last year.
I want a year off, guy. I got choked out last year. I needed a.
All right.
Is there any insight? Have we heard? Is one of the costumes still broken? I should have asked Vern.
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't analyzed the hot dog derby races.
Because my original plan was to be catcher.
I wanted Vern to run in the hot dog derby. Like, Vern, for a half inning, I promise it's two innings of taking Vern away from his job. But otherwise, like, let Vern run in it. That'd be great.
Next year, I will run
hashtag
in the
let
race.
Let Vern run.
I needed to just see with verification that all the costumes are properly fixed.
Because I'm out on the derby races until if they ever a new stadium and they change it up to new condiments and it's barbecue sauce race or something. Then
like
I'm back
a
in.
Rib versus,
I'll be back in when I'll be 40 at that point in time. But I'll be back in at 40.
I'll be 40 in 2 weeks and I'm still in. Yeah. So, you know,
this is it. You realize this is your best chance to win. Otherwise, you're done.
I understand.
You're done. All
it's
right.
That or like seriously train. Like a lunatic.
Yeah.
For one race.
Let's get back to the Chiefs for a little bit here before we do eventually hear your fan.
It's about becoming
song.
The fan.
Mm-hmm. And it's a Queen song?
It is a Queen song.
Okay. The Chiefs, though, in their preseason game on Saturday, other than Xavier Worthy, who we already talked about, Kingsley Suamataia, I think, should have given everybody plenty of confidence heading into the season. Not that there's not going to be a hiccup at any point, but don't be stressing about the left tackle position.
No, I'm good.
Honestly, you should be more worried, although we heard today Andy says Juwan Taylor will be good to go. If Niang was playing or something, I'd be more concerned there. I think Kingsley, the fact there was zero competition, he had this job. I'll say it. They won't ever admit it. From day one, he was drafted, essentially. This was his job. Should make you feel even better. The fact that Patrick Mahomes, like, he's not being brought up much after a game, that's all great news for Kingsley and for this left side of the offensive line. It doesn't hurt that you got Joe Tooney to your right.
That's exactly what it is. I think a lot of left tackles, this is why we wanted him to take a young one, even if it wasn't. I told you, at the time, I didn't really want a first-round pick, so they took it exactly where I'd want it to be. They took it, like, in the late second round, but he set up for perfect success. He has the best interior offensive line in the NFL. So, okay, dream scenario. Then they probably are going to pick on you guys equally from the tackle position. If you're thinking, who's the best pass rusher? Is he coming after Juwan Taylor or is he coming after Kingsley Suamataia? I'd say equal. They're not going to pick on you more just because you're the rookie. And Mahomes mitigates some of this. So it really is kind of a perfect scenario. We talk about Caleb Williams coming into a perfect scenario for a quarterback. Number one overall pick, a team that wasn't a number one overall pick bad. They just had that because they traded it. Tons of weapons, wide receivers, tight ends. Dream scenario. That's what it's like to be a left tackle for the Chiefs. They're going to mitigate so much for you. All you have to do is mostly not screw it up. I'm more confident. I think there's a chance he could be a top 10 left tackle this year when it all sets up.
Well, boy, that would be unbelievable.
It would be fringe, but I think that's in play for Kingsley. And I wouldn't have thought that right when they drafted him. I would need to see a little more action. But what I'm seeing in preseason looks like he's got the job down.
I mean, if that happens, look, Orlando Brown Jr., as much as people talk crap on him, I think there were times where he was playing like a 10 to, top 12 tackle in football. There were other times where Orlando Brown Jr. looked like the 18th best tackle in football. You know, there were flashes of it. If Kingsley in his rookie year can even have some flashes of being what you're saying is a fringe top 10 tackle, then boy, oh boy, are they set up really nice for the future. Because I think it is fair to say, not every player, but at a tackle position, when everybody has acknowledged the athleticism that exists, and then you still just got to kind of fine tune some things and get used to NFL competition. If he builds on that, you could be talking about Mahomes for 3-4 plus years, at least having no issue at your left tackle position, just in time when, by the way, in 2 years, you probably don't have Joe Tooney anymore. So you could then afford to have a more inexperienced left guard at that point, while you've got an experienced left tackle. You've got an experienced center, assuming Creed gets his deal done, and then you can figure out right guard and left guard, whether it's somebody that's on the team right now
or someone you draft 2 years
or someone you draft. So they're positioned pretty well there. Do they need Juwan Taylor to elevate his game? Absolutely. But if you get Juwan Taylor to elevate, not have the holding problems, coupled with Kingsley, this offensive line could be one of the better units Mahomes has actually had. It has a chance to be that.
One thing I will say is, after a full year of Donovan Smith's aging body.
He's still a free agent right now, by the way.
Kingsley, you know what he brings back? The screen game. It's back. The athleticism he showed on just one screen in this last one, you're like, oh my God, he can get out in front of guys. The screen game's back. Like, I mean, if he's got the kind of athleticism that he appears to be showing at the moment, they're going to actually use that as part of their offense again. They did not use it last year at all, plain and simple. And some of it is because they were having so many troubles getting the ball 4 yards down the line of scrimmage. But some of it is absolutely offensive line athleticism. The reason why, like, the tush push works so well for the Eagles, and I'm fascinated to see if it does this year, is what Jason Kelce offers in a special skill set. Kingsley is going to be better in screens than Donovan ever was.
Extending the field because of Worthy and Hollywood Brown should also help that. You're right. Athleticism on the O-line. Is Pacheco a better receiving back? Now, you don't have McKinnon anymore, and he was really your strong
point.
If Pacheco really has figured that out, I'm curious to see when Pacheco lines up at wide receiver at times in the slot, even more so than the screen game. But I think you're right. They've got a chance to be better positioned. We're midway through the season. We're hopefully not even talking about Kingsley. Like, he's just so solid that he's not even
a topic of conversation on the show.
That's the hope. That's what you want for your left tackle and right tackle.
That's pretty much what we did with Donovan Smith last year. But that might also be because Juwan Taylor was a real focus of conversation. And then later in the year, Creed couldn't snap. So, like, there were other guys to worry about.
Was it Ross Tucker we had on the show last year, guys, that said Donovan Smith basically was, like, lazy at times?
Yes. He was pretty accurate. He was like, he'll just take some snaps off. And at left tackle, that's the last thing you ever, at left tackle, there are positions you can take a snap off and the team's not buried. Left tackle's kind of a tough one. You take a snap off at left tackle, you might just get your quarterback killed back there. So maybe don't, maybe not there. Anywhere else, fine. You know, half-ass one, but maybe not that one. He said he just described his play as lazy. I think it's like, it's not even that you're not giving full effort. It's just like your movements, or you're not as precise with those things.
He reaches his hand out instead of like moving his feet.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, more of a style of play, I think, than like a work.
Not a physical. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Nobody's saying he didn't work his ass off in practice or whatever. Someone says it'll be Carson Steele on the screen passes. Maybe occasionally, whoever the number two back will get shots, but Pacheco's going to be
the lead back by a mile.
Yeah, it's not even close.
For fantasy football perspectives, I mean, he's one of what, maybe like seven guys not in a timeshare? Christian McCaffrey, obviously. You can just pencil him right away. I mean, how many other guys? You think Derrick Henry will get 80% of the touches back there?
Probably. I mean, the PPR, like the rankings, depending on what website you use for running backs, just from a fantasy perspective, they have Pacheco on ESPN as the eighth best PPR running back.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Who else do they have in Baltimore other than Henry? Who is it?
At this point, that's kind of it.
I can't even.
Is Gut? Where was like Gus Edwards?
He's in LA now. Along with J.K. Dobbins. There's no other Baltimore running back listed in the top 40-something on here.
Okay, so they're saying that's going to be the guy. Derrick Henry goes down week two, and that's going to be the guy everyone wished they had on. Well, that's the handcuff everybody's going to wish they had.
They don't list him. Anyway, thinking of that, if you, by the way, a week ago tried to get in our guillotine league, well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Point.
We asked you to tag us in a screenshot of your preset being 96.5 the fan.
This is actually the one who called.
Drew reached out to those of you that were randomly selected to qualify. Some of you have responded. Some of you have joined. A lot of you have not, that we reached out to. There was also one person that we got the wrong email address. Listener Tyler, we have the wrong email address if you want to call up Drew, and he'll ask you to verify some other information and know that it's you. But 913-586-7965. We're giving anybody that responded and was selected till like Wednesday or Thursday. Other than that, we're selecting new people. You have that till join the league. The draft isn't until the 27th, but we want to have the league full by the end of this week.
Yeah, we got to make sure we're squared away and we're not still searching for teams last second. That's how we end up with a lot of like random station people. And it's not that we don't like if Speck's in the league, but wouldn't you rather have his spot than give it to Speck? So, you know, just respond, sign up for the league, and you'll be all squared away. And if your name is Tyler and you called Drew and you said you'd wear a Bengals shirt the day after the Chiefs or if the Bengals were to win or whatever to Arrowhead, well, then call. It's because Drew did not write down your email right, or you gave it to him wrong. One of the two.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I made a song.
The bet is on. If you lose tonight, you cannot sing for a month.
That's a long time.
But we're allowing you, after the boss blocked the 96.5 The Fan song last week. He came in studio. You were very upset.
I was.
He made a whole scene about it.
I did. I called our boss out.
You did. How long is this song that we're about to hear? I have not heard it.
1 minute and 53
and
seconds.
And it's based off of the Queen song, What?
You'll hear it in a second. The point is that this song was a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
We became 96.5 The Fan last week, and I wanted to play this on the inaugural day, but I'll take Fan Night at the K as the best possible reason to play it instead, since we'll all be out of coffin tonight. So this is the song celebrating our switch to the fan. Today we're gonna have ourselves a real good time. I feel alive, alive. And for sports, we're turning FM now, yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so we're the fan now. We're the fan. 'Cause we're having a good time, having a good time. With a superstar leaping through the sky, hitting homers, defying the laws of gravity. That's a racing car passing by like Michael Andretti. They're gonna go, go, go. We're the home of the Chiefs. We'll have the Wildcats, yeah. We have Missouri on one station on 96.5. A station you can hear at night. I wanna make a fan listener out of you. We're the fan now.
We're having such a good time. We're having a ball with the fan now. If you want to have a good time, just give us a call
with the fan.
Because we're having a good time
with the fan.
Yeah, we're having a good time. I don't want to stop at all. La da 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 da. We're the fan now. These songs will never.
There you go. We're the fan now. Gold is so disappointed, which is perfect. Perfect. Hey, Drew.
I like how you pitched yourself in multiple ways and like laid it over.
Yeah, you know.
That was
harmonize with yourself.
I'm sorry.
That was very creative.
You're apologizing
to. Sorry, guys. Sorry to everybody.
I'll be honest. I think in terms of like, I don't know if that was your best one, but I think in terms of like production level,
entertainment value.
I would say production level.
Someone says they left for 2 minutes not to listen to the song. Someone says I'm your number one fan, but disappointing.
Ooh,
tough.
There is somebody who loves you on the text line.
I hope it's not that person because that person said nothing but nice things over the years. If I've let them down, then 1 month from today, if I'm ever allowed to do a song again. I'll have to do something different. There you go. Someone says, I thought it was clever. So.
I mean,
I knew this would be your reaction to it. It makes it all the better.
I thought it was fine. I don't think it was the best one, though. I don't. But I do think from what I heard when I was in the bullpen and you were recording, I think you matched the energy level of the song that you chose.
Yes. That is important, Drew. Thank you for pointing that out. Matching the energy level of that song is important if you're going to cover it, you know? Mm-hmm. I definitely matched the energy.
You did, yep.
You can't, there's just no way you can say.
It wasn't necessarily underwhelming. It just, to me, it just wasn't, I don't know.
You didn't think it was my best.
There are other ones I think were better.
Definitely not my worst. Gosh, that will forever be the suckiest.
Nate and Bob, please. Tonight, please.
Now you're begging these people.
Please win in the hot dog derby race.
Someone said I'm feeling in for Bob tonight. Make it a year. I mean, that would be.
Text line is right. Now we know why Bob vetoed it. I hadn't even heard it yet. I would have not even agreed to the updated terms today if I had heard this before.
You wouldn't have agreed to my updated terms and not sing for a month?
No.
Because then the song would have played eventually anyway, and you wouldn't have had any
benefit. The listener wanted me to step in and block.
But that means he still could have. So that's where we need clarification from here on out in regards to blocking the song.
48 hours.
Is it the song is blocked for 48 hours because his song is always going to play under the current rules? Or if a song is blocked, that one song never plays. Is that the new?
Well, if I would have heard this, I would have agreed.
This was one that never needed to play.
This is one that never needed to air.
I've supported other songs at times.
You have, but there's others.
This one.
I would say that this follows under the normal. Mm-hmm. Says Masterclass, 9 out of 10. Moral victories are not allowed on this show, which is obviously indicating that my match, the tempo was no good. Someone claimed it was incredible. You know, there's lots of hate, plenty of hate. There's almost no argument
Moral
there.
Moral victories are not allowed on this show.
That part was always going to bum you out.
I'm floating around.
Why do you keep playing this one part? The part after that's the best part.
In ecstasy.
Well, for those who didn't like it, let me say to you guys by playing some Brandy. How about that, huh?
Someone says I'm buying 5 veto passes next year. I can't just eliminate songs from the show. That's no fun.
The minimum bid's going up, I'll tell you that. I don't think we'll have a problem hitting it.
It's for charity.
You're welcome, Carrington and Rob. You're welcome.
What a lead-in for them, you know?
That's quite the lead-in. They're broadcasting outside Kauffman Stadium. We're going to be there later tonight. Fan day, fan night at the K. Hope to see you as the Royals send Seth Lugo on the mound. C-Dot and Rob coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,